Fletcher is a reporter with RTÉ News, but she has also directed and produced an independent documentary that recently scooped the award for Best Human Rights Documentary at the Galway Film Flat this month. Her film is having its Dublin premiere at the Lighthouse Cinema as part of the Gaze International LGBT Film Festival this Saturday. It's called African Pride, and Laura joins me in studio now. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Louise. How are you doing?
So how did you come to make a documentary like this?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. I took 2 years out of RTÉ and I moved to Johannesburg. And it was really interesting. I worked for an NGO looking at media and ethics, and I was working as a communication and advocacy worker there. And I always wanted to do a documentary, push myself a little bit out of my comfort zone. And because I've been working, looking at kind of how to tell stories ethically and well, like the deal with human rights, I decided, you know, I'll put my money where my mouth was. And this was a story that I was reading a lot about and hadn't always been covered very well, kind of people feeling maybe re-victimized by how it was told. So I decided, okay, Irish woman goes into the townships and decides to kind of talk to people, ask people to tell me their stories in a way they were comfortable with, in a way that they owned, and try to tell a documentary or make a documentary that was both kind of respectful and dignified, but also compelling. And that's maybe easier than it sounds.
Yeah.
So that was the start.
So what we're talking about is being gay and living in Africa, which we hear stories, you know, like every once in a while someone points out that, you know, we obviously, the main fight for LGBT rights at the moment in Ireland is to get this marriage referendum passed and stuff. But then every once in a while, someone kind of reminds you that things are a lot more difficult for the gay community in other countries. And Africa is one of those places that often gets targeted as a continent.
I think it's kind of interesting as well, because South Africa is kind of an anomaly, you know. South Africa has this amazing constitution. Its post-apartheid constitution was the first in the world to protect people from discrimination on the basis of their sexual orientation. And then they're the first and only country in Africa to have gay marriage. So actually the debate we're having here, you know, they have gay marriage there, but there's a real disconnect between, you know, the rights on paper and how people are treated. And
right.
So the government itself has acknowledged that, you know, crime targeting lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people is such an issue that they've set up a task team. And, you know, these crimes are, you know, whether or not where they happen, like I was looking at black townships, because that is really where a lot of those attacks happen. And also, I suppose, if you have people who are vulnerable, who don't have a car, who can't, you know, who are walking around late at night, that kind of thing, if there is sort of a prejudiced attitude there, it's easier to target people who are perhaps already vulnerable. And so there's been a lot of awareness about that. But also what I wanted to look at was, of course, there's been these crimes, but there's this amazing activism, these people who are saying, you know what, enough. And
yeah.
I use the motif, which I think was quite a colourful and musical motif for such a kind of difficult topic, which was looking at prides and protests. And
right.
Those are incredibly colourful, strong, proud statements where people are like, don't call me an African. I was born and reared in this township and I'm going to celebrate pride here. And that's really at the heart of this film, is that kind of meeting violence with visibility and the bravery of that, you know.
I was pretty shocked by some of the people who were in the township, some of the homophobic people, some of the stuff that they said in the film. Like, you know, there was one guy who said that if my son was gay, I would kill him. If my daughter was gay, I would kill her. If my father was gay, I would kill him. You know, there was just no tolerance at all. So how do people get the bravery and the gumption to then go and wait their rainbow flag in that context?
And it is, it's really tricky. And what's really, what I loved was that the motivations are things that all of us can connect to. And so motivated by their own experience, perhaps, if they were hurt, if they were targeted, or motivated out of love for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So like a mother who's lost a daughter, or friends, you know, friends who've lost someone, or friends who know people who've been targeted. In many ways, those are the experiences that motivate people to say, you know, enough's enough, and go out into the communities. And they don't just march and wave colourful flags, which is a very very powerful kind of symbol, but could also be seen, if it was just that, then perhaps you're not going to convert anyone. You're not going to, you know. And so they invite along community members, which I think is amazing. So church leaders and also parents, their own parents, their grandparents, who might have interesting ideas that they kind of want to talk about or questions. And also they do these great community dialogues. And so they, and they go out with leaflets to places where they might come across like male dominated places, like taxi ranks or kind of the fruit and vegetable sellers. And they go and they leaflet. And initially, of course, they will often meet a lot of resistance, but they're keeping the conversation going.
Yeah.
So it's, I found that the topic is difficult, but what I found really inspiring were these people. And I think there's lots of interesting parallels kind of in terms of what inspires people to be brave, you know?
Well, it's interesting because you said there that a lot of the time the inspiration comes from the really negative experiences. And you said, you mentioned people being targeted. So what are we talking about?
So what we would be looking at really, and the crimes that have motivated action, are murder, rape and assault. And there's no kind of easy way of saying any of those things. And some of the most amazing people were either motivated. For example, there's a pride in Cuatema, which is it's about almost 5 years old now. And it was a group of friends who had lost two friends, a woman who played soccer for the national team, a really like vivacious person, someone who was really well known in the community, really well looked up to. And she was raped and murdered. And then a year later, her friend, who's also an out woman in that same township, was stabbed and killed. And her friends were like, enough, you know. And so they started a pride every year. And from that, it's grown to this NGO where they work out of a little shed in their back garden. And it's become a safe space for people. And it's really nice. It's spread out. So it started in that township and now they've moved to include other townships, and they're moving the pride from one township to another. And so you can see the sort of people really respond to having some form of kind of group that they can be a part of. And another woman who is really pivotal in this film, called Funika Soldat, she was stabbed and raped herself. But it wasn't until a 19-year-old young woman was killed because she went into a tavern and wanted to use the women's toilets. And she got essentially chased out of there and killed, beaten to death. And
because of her appearance was very
exactly
masculine.
They were saying, oh, you're a tomboy. Why would you like to use the women's toilets? And she's like, no, I'm a woman. And so they chased her, they killed her. And this case was dragging on for such a long time. And it really, women were so afraid as a result of this. And Funika Soldat said, enough. And this is a woman in her 50s, was an apartheid struggle hero herself. And she organized Free Gender as sort of a safe space again. Her living room is where all of these young women gather, and they are outside every courthouse every time there's an assault, a rape, anything. And also they started as a lesbian group. Now they're looking at other crimes targeting gay men and transgender people. And it's this generosity, I think, also to speak out for people who can't speak for themselves, you know.
How frequently are these crimes happening?
Well, since April 2011, more than 20 lesbian, gay and bisexual and transgender people have been killed, and those are murders. So that's very clear, kind of, we can quantify that. But in terms of the rapes and assaults, it's very difficult to quantify. But I know when I went out there, most people had a story, either their own story or of someone very close to them.
Oh, it's awful. It must be such a terrifying way to live as well. And therefore, more impressive that people are so brave to make themselves the face of, I suppose, a movement. So just before I let you go, do you think the action that these people are taking is having an impact on the wider community?
I think so. I mean, the crimes are still happening, and so that's very difficult. But the activism is really interesting in that the numbers are swelling. And so one of the court cases that I filmed was this Zulisa Nkonyana murder trial that was the origins of Free Gender. And I was there for the verdict when four men were found guilty. And outside the court, it was amazing. There were throngs, hundreds of people, and not just lesbian women or gay men. these were like groups that campaigned on HIV awareness and testing, yeah. or groups who were campaigning for better sanitation in townships. And they recognized, you know, this is a really important issue.
Yeah.
So they kind of joined in. And I think also the participants in this documentary are just overwhelmed at the positive response. The
yeah.
fact that Amnesty and Galway Film Flower recognized this story and gave it the award, and now it's having its Dublin premiere. It's really wonderful because they feel that what they're doing isn't, you know, kind of going unnoticed anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's the start of a process. We're looking at its international premiere as well. So we're just hoping that this goes from strength to strength.
Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations, Laura, on all your work. What an amazing thing to do. And so this film, which is called African Pride, sorry, mm-hmm. is making its Dublin debut this weekend at the Lighthouse Cinema as part of the Gaze International LGBT Film Festival. So you can check out details online, I presume, in the Gaze.
Absolutely. It's a double bill. It's a Best of Irish double bill. And we're also, there's going to be a short version of The Queen of Ireland, which is the documentary about Panty Bliss. So I think a lot of people will be keen to see that. And I think Rory and Panty Bliss has also, Panty Bliss has been very outspoken about issues like those.
Yeah.
dealt with an African Pride, so it's
Absolutely.
A lovely fit.
Super. Okay, well, best of luck with it. Coming